response.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
More Dirt and Sprague.
Do you trust someone who doesn't like a Pop-Tart?
Dirt.
Can I give you a hot take that might make people look at me and call me an idiot? I think Pop-Tarts are disgusting.
Sprague.
I used to raw dog Pop-Tarts religiously.
Dirt and Sprague.
I'm anti-Pop-Tart.
On the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number three, Dirt and Sprague here, Portland sports leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody.
God bless the beaver.
Call that the Fan Sports Network. We're having a great time here today. 2 hours in, 2 hours to go. Keith Smith will join us coming up about 26 minutes on the dot from now. We'll talk some NBA free agency with him. And the growing sentiment that it does genuinely appear that the Blazers will have their Ja Morant press conference in Las Vegas without the general manager of the team there.
I have confirmed that through sourcing that indeed they will be doing the Ja Morant media thing in Vegas.
They have not announced that yet, right, by the way, publicly, the Blazers? Did I miss an email or a press release? I don't feel like I saw that.
You know, they let off a lot of their PR team, so their press releases are few and far between.
I also think they're going to try and hide this one for like a Friday news dump of like, oh, by the way, tomorrow at 11 a.m. before our first game, Ja Morant.
Yeah, and look,
that's a bad look.
You're still going to have your right before the season starts deal where everybody goes to the podium and, you know, we get people asking questions to whoever your two-way signing is going to be and what their career's been so far. But yeah, dude, I mean, you can give me examples where this has happened in the past. This is different. This is Ja Morant. This is an all-NBA, all-star player who is coming to Portland basically because the last team didn't want him at all and chose to take the Jeremy Grant deal in trade of giving up a guy that franchise-wise is one of the most beloved players in their history.
Yes.
That's a little bit more than just like a standard signing or trade. That's a massive deal.
Right.
So they haven't announced it yet, but it does sound like they're going to do Ja Morant stuff in Vegas. I don't know who's going to be down there to be asking questions, and there will be no Joe Cronin because I was told last time he did this, Miami reporters were there, and they jumped all over, why don't you trade Dame to Miami? And it became kind of a circus in that regard.
Hey, you know what helps in that regard? Not having the press conference in Las Vegas and hosting it where media members locally can attend and ask questions about your decision-making in the offseason.
The entire league is in Vegas right now.
And how when did the trade go down?
Well, yeah, but it just got announced a couple days ago.
I get it.
Processed through the
league. Is Brad Stevens in Vegas right now?
I am not defending this. I'm just simply pointing out that they're probably not going to have media availability with Ja Morant here locally until the day, like the week before the season starts. And
you're 100% right. That's exactly how this is going to go. Joe Cronin won't probably talk until then, right? We're not going to hear from him until the end of September when everything's coming together.
Yeah.
I will say this. It's a point of criticism that I had of the last owner of the team. We never once heard her talk outside of a Shane Sharp draft video, and that drove me nuts. I want to know where you're at. I want to know what your stance is, how you feel about the organization, your hopes and dreams and wishes, all that. I want to know that. I will give major credit to Boston. Dude, Boston traded away their finals MVP. And what did they do 2 days later? Or maybe longer than that, but a couple days later.
He had to wait for the trade to process.
And then
again,
it processed, and then what did they do?
They had a press conference.
Where they had to answer hard questions from the local media about, yo, this guy was Finals MVP, and you like, how did you do this? And you know who else was there? The governor, the head of the ownership group was at the press conference as well, answering questions about, are these financially driven decisions? And so I just, kudos to them for doing it. I guess we're going to run to Vegas and hide, even though our trade went down before the Jalen Brown trade happened, and we've had plenty of time in order to get
it announced before Jalen Brown's trade.
Yes, we've had plenty of time to get this done, but now we have to do it in Las Vegas. It's a really bad look. The general manager needs to answer questions about how having five guards on the roster makes sense
and
how
he will.
Defensively Dame and Ja in the backcourt makes sense long term.
He will. It just will be in September, not, you know, after their free agency trade season.
That's right. We're still got a lot of moves to come. I'm sure there's still going to be a lot of moves we're going to talk about come September.
Hey.
We got to wait for all the other moves to come through, and then we'll do our end of the offseason press conference because we're super busy right now.
I mean, do I find it a little frustrating and puzzling that you don't have a big press? Like, if you're in on Ja, whatever you make of Ja Morant,
I'm in on the trade. Let's see how it goes. I got no problem with it.
I'm in on it if you make the roster make sense. The roster doesn't make sense, so I'm kind of wondering why are we doing this. No matter your opinion, if you're in on Ja Morant and the idea of what he can be, sans being in Memphis, cool. I do think the organization, and they will eventually, I do think they should be holding a Portland-based press conference for this.
Yes.
I understand everything is in Vegas. I understand they have set a precedent in the past of doing this. This is not... It's not Jeremy Grant and
Matisse Thybulle. This is not a normal...
Ja Morant, and this is a five-guard situation.
If you want to do the press... Who's the center that they signed that nobody's going to remember his name?
Brendan Carlson.
Okay, Carlton's coming to town, right?
Carlson.
You want to do that one in Vegas? By all means, dude. I got no issue with it. He's going to play 6 minutes a night, and he's going to score 2 points.
I think he'll play a little bit more than 6 minutes.
And he's going to be gone after next season. Like, I don't care. Have that press conference in Las Vegas. Nobody cares, nor should they. This is a much bigger story we're talking about.
Why don't you go to Vegas
here
than dirt?
This story was so controversial and big that we had a columnist had to issue an apology over takes from the trade. That doesn't happen to Carlton signing to be our third string center.
That's Carlson. Okay?
He's Carlton to me now, okay? Yeah. Until he has a good game, he's going by
until
Carlton.
He has four threes in a game.
You hit a three, you can have your actual name back. Until then, you're Carlton because it's easier to
remember.
You're
not wrong. When a columnist is basically publicly reprimanded by the editor of
this
the
is a
paper,
very controversial move.
It obviously sparked a lot of conversation and still does. There are still people that are like, what are we doing here? I'm with you. Also, they will talk. It just won't be till September.
And nobody's going to pay attention to it because it'll be in the middle of football season. It'll be week 3 and it'll be like the week of Oregon, USC.
What's Oregon's biggest non-conference? Is it Boise State, their biggest non-conference, or is it Oklahoma State?
Either. I mean, what's bigger to you? They're kind of the same.
Yeah. Yeah. In some ways, yeah. It'd be funny if they scheduled it a week of like,
do you know who they play, though, the last week of September on the road?
It's USC, right?
USC, the last week
It'd
of September.
It'd be really funny if that like weekend, Thursday of the USC game,
when
like,
everybody's focused on undefeated Oregon, undefeated USC.
This just happens to line up perfectly our availability.
Here's Ja. Come on down. Let's answer some questions for
you. The media crowd's kind of light today. Are they in Los Angeles for a big football event? Is that what's
Come
happening?
Come on, man. Come on, Joe. You're better than that. Let's get back into a couple of things from Big 12 Media Day. I'm jonesing for football. You get guys in jerseys walking around answering questions. It's going to get me excited. One of the things I forgot about to a certain extent, and then you're like, that's right, I can't wait to see how that looks, was DJ Lagway walking around in a Baylor jersey.
It was very odd.
That's going to take a while to get used to. Not that he was prolific at Florida, but he was such a big deal as a recruit and one of these like savior guys for the Gators. It did not go well. Coach gets fired. He's now at Baylor. We've seen these redemption stories in college football. Penix, Bo Nix. I go down the list of guys. Hell, even Dante Moore was terrible at UCLA. Lands at Oregon, and now it's pretty good, and he might be a top 3 pick in the draft next year.
Yep.
So just can he be that at Baylor? That was an interesting thought of mine. I also need to ask the question. Do you believe now? Are you still believing? In your almonds?
Where it started and where it is today, I just, no.
No. That was an easy no.
I bought a prime sweatshirt.
You have the sweatshirt.
I have the sweatshirt. When it starts getting chilly, I'll wear it again.
It does look like a very comfortable sweatshirt.
It's one of the more comfortable sweatshirts I own.
I see you wear it. I'm like, well, that looks cozy. That looks like a cozy sweatshirt.
I eat almonds.
You
Not
are a
because
big
of him,
guy.
But I've always liked almonds. But I eat almonds, and he makes me want to do it in his commercials. I love him in the Aflac thing with Saban. Why and what evidence do I have that that is going to be any different? You're about to play a clip that exposes exactly what was going down, and I know what the opposing view is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Well, medical scare. Was he coaching? If he was gone and not coaching, I'd get it. If he was there every week coaching, medical scare sucks. I'm sorry. This is an alarming admission that they never thought would come out, and now they're going to have to, like, play the media PR move of,
well, no, that's not what he meant.
You misunderstood what he was saying.
That's
like
not what he meant.
These are not the droids you're looking for. Like, if I'm a Colorado fan, this went from being one of the more fun things of my life to,
yes, reviving the program.
It feels like, and I think some out there would be crossing their fingers because he's done a lot of good things. He has. I think people want this to end quietly.
He's done a lot of good things financially for you, the university, in the short term.
He's made you matter.
Yes, but I would also argue that, to a certain extent, is already kind of worn off. Like, the vision, if you go back and look at his first spring game in Colorado, I'll never forget it. It's an April spring. Colorado was, what, a one-win team the year before?
They were terrible.
As irrelevant as you could be. And yes. Then the spring game shows up in April, and it's sold out, and the celebrities on the sidelines. And it was a massive deal. You know who attended? Nobody went to their spring game this year.
Yeah.
And so already in year three, you're seeing, and that's not the end-all, be-all. I get it. It's just a spring game.
It shows you where the interest is,
but I think
is,
it's just
though.
Like, dude, that was all in to, yeah. Like, oh. So he had a quote. He talked to Pete Thamel, Deion Sanders did. And he was asked about, can you turn Colorado around? And his quote was, it's already turned. You just ain't seeing the fruit. It's already there.
And I get what he is saying in some regards, but people are going to look at this from a win-loss perspective. So your fruit that you're talking about.
His win-loss record in 3 years is 16-21, and he's 9-18 in conference play.
Again, the fruit he's talking about are not things that people point to and celebrate. Now, some at the university do.
Yeah,
we cannot argue with the money they've made.
No doubt.
The uptick in admissions from students who have just seen this and go, I want to be around it.
No doubt about it.
The amount of donor money that's come in for football, right? The profile of the university in general, they were no different than Iowa State for most people.
No.
And now they're back to, hey, not anymore, but for 2 years, it was a real, look at this, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
And now it's just in a spot where last year happens and it goes as poorly as it, you know, everything does. His kid's not there. Hunter ain't there. And it's like, who do you point to now for that program? Is it Julian Lewis who we're about to play? I still think it's the head coach, which is fine in that sport, but you also got to be able to point to players, right? Dan Lanning and Dante Moore.
Yes.
Right? So I just think, and I might be wrong on this. This is just a feel. I think there's a lot of Colorado fans that are like, kind of know what to expect. It's going to be anywhere from 4 to 7 wins and
yes,
nothing better. And, you know, if you end up leaving, thank you. But also, like, yeah, let's try to get a better coach.
It was a fun fever dream for 4 years of you were irrelevant either way, so you might as well be interesting in not winning games. Although they did have a 9-win season there, so I'll be fair.
The 9-win season was good.
They went 4-8, 9-4, and then 3-9 last year. And so it's been two really bad years and one solid year that they were pretty formidable. That first year in the Big 12, they had a chance to go to the conference championship at the end of it, right? But to your point, that was Shador and Travis Hunter, and since they left, that ain't walking through the door. Last year, their recruiting class in the Big 12, there are 16 teams in the Big 12. They finished 14th. The only schools with a worse recruiting class than them were Central Florida and Oklahoma State, who went 1-11 and fired their head coach. They signed one above 3-star ranked recruit. That was it. Only 18 total commitments.
Jeez.
Iowa State had a better recruiting class. Cincinnati, Kansas, Kansas State, Arizona. Like, you go down the list, right? Everybody, Houston blew them out of the water. So it's just like, that is the, that's the point of, I have always felt like this is a bit of a gimmick in terms of, one, the media attention. Now, it's not a gimmick financially for Colorado. Just for Sanders, of like, if you truly took this seriously, your name carries so much weight. Like, if you just tried, if you just half-assed
your
way.
You'd be in the top 25 every year.
Yes, every year. You're Deion bleeping Sanders, man. You walking into a living room is a big deal.
You shouldn't be losing to Kansas State.
No.
Like, their coach just quit because he couldn't handle it, and they still out-recruited you.
I've been to Manhattan, Kansas. They shouldn't beat you in recruiting in anything. There's nothing there. Here is, by the way, you talk about who's the face of their program right now. Julian Lewis, probably. He was one of, from 2 years ago, their notable recruits that they signed. He's their expected day one starter.
Guy.
They invited him to Big 12 Media Day. He's there yesterday, and he was asked about year one to year now going into year two in Colorado's offense.
My play, I'm actually looking at the defenses now. Last year, we wasn't really looking at defense as much, just kind of high school free ball and just out there playing football. But, you know, it's a lot bigger than that now, so it should be fine.
This is probably a 19-year-old kid who is not the most media-trained. Say, like, you're just kind of lights on, microphones in your face. You maybe say something that you don't mean, because if you mean this...
He's in a hallway, by the way. He's not on the stage.
I know. This is not a stage answer.
Like,
it's a one-on-one. It's a one-off TV reporter. You're not wrong there. I just... Yeah. If any sense of this is true...
I mean, why
your
would
entire
you think it's
coaching
not?
Staff should be fired.
Oh, okay, first of all, that's the other part of this.
Like,
he is... How many coordinators has he gone through?
Well, he's... Deion? I don't know. That's a good question.
This is year four for him, right?
He's going into year four, yeah. He fired one early, I remember, in year one.
He just fired Pat Shurmur.
They had Sean Lewis, who was there. Now I think he's the head coach at San Diego State.
Yeah.
Pat Shurmur, and I don't remember
They've
if he was...
gone through a couple DCs. Yeah. Warren Sapp just resigned, like...
I mean, he was jokingly saying for one of their non-conference games, he's got to worry about his coaches being on a curfew. He's not worried about the players. They can
They're
break
going to Atlanta.
Atlanta.
They play Georgia
but
Tech.
I'm worried about my coaches on curfew, and it's like...
I found that to be a very odd. I don't care if you're joking or not. That's an
that's
odd
just
quote.
Something you say. Marcus Freeman saying that at Notre Dame. Hey, we're playing Miami in non-conference. I got to worry about my defensive coordinator partying all night.
Also, I'd still be worrying about my players.
Like, yeah, what?
They're young guys with a lot of money, man.
You're a professional coach. Like, you can't. What are you doing here?
I don't know. I think there's a lot of context with Deion and why he goes to Colorado. You knew if he was going to get a job in the Power Conference, he was going to get the kind of attention, right?
Yes.
Colorado or not, that was always going to be what was going to be. But you come out. You don't even wait past the first game. You win the first game, which you're a slight underdog.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like you were a 20-point underdog in that game.
And it happened to be against a team who had just played in the national championship at TCU.
And it was a road game, and your guys who you hyped up, they played out. They balled out. It was a fun game. I'll never forget that game.
Yeah.
You chose after game one to do the do you believe now, and I'm taking receipts. And dude, one game. You won three more the rest of that year.
That Oregon-Colorado game that year is one of the most satisfying games that I've ever been at.
You made a player piss blood.
That's one of
they laughed at Oregon and then got bludgeoned
in
the game.
Undefeated Colorado came to town and it was like 42-0 at halftime.
So like you set the tone after one game. It backfires in your face. You come out year two. Okay, you did what I would say your ceiling is largely until you get a next-level X's and O's guy.
Went to the Alamo Bowl.
Colorado is at best a 9-win program in my mind, right?
Yes, completely agree.
And then you follow that up with another 4-win season, and you've got somebody coming out, your starting quarterback, saying it was basically high school ball. We had no game plan. You have fired multiple coordinators. You blame everything on them. You just fire somebody. You hire somebody else. You're bringing friends in with no real background. They don't stick around and hang out. Like, we have enough evidence. If we can come to conclusions on other coaches at other programs after three seasons.
Right, say that's not good enough.
Yeah. For what he is paid, in some ways, again, he has bared the fruit. But we're talking at the end of the day of wins and losses, are we not?
Yes.
If he's going to do the you believe now because he wins, well, what do we believe now of a three-year run going into year four? I don't feel amazing about it. And
no.
I don't know what their ceiling is. Because I don't know who the hell is on their team anymore.
Well, maybe they're watching film this year, so their ceiling's a little bit
maybe
higher.
Maybe it's 5 or 6 wins at best. Or maybe they're a surprise 8-win team. 8 wins would do him a service.
It'd be a great year.
You're going to keep rolling that over and hope that he eventually cares about it. But I'm with you on the recruiting thing. You've noted that the whole journey, and I just thought at some point he'd change. And it's been like Lincoln Riley in some capacity. He hasn't. Now, Lincoln has. USC's changed.
Yeah, they got their dollars and cents lined up. They're taking it more seriously. It's like, well, I'm glad it took you 4 years to figure out you got to recruit high school kids. Like, we can have the debate, and we do constantly, about what is it high school recruiting, is it transfer portal, what's more. But there's always the correct answer is a blend of both. Now, you might say 60-40 leaning one way or 60-40 leading the other way. You got to do both in order to survive in college football because you got to have young guys. You got to have depth. You know how many transfer recruits they brought in last year in their class?
All he has lived on is transfers.
43.
Yeah, that's all he is. He is all in on the portal.
43.
He is telling you he does not care about high school recruiting. Remember the story? It was either year one or two. He came out and said, "I can't go to the high schools."
Yeah, he's not going
to
go.
"I'm too famous."
Yeah.
"So I don't go to them.
They come to me."
That's an alarm. Yeah. I'm sounding the Dan Lanning in an in-between moment is flying from Eugene to God knows where, Idaho, to be on the sidelines of a game that he looks around and he goes, "There are 48 people here. What?
Yes.
But I need the 4-star
Kenyon Sadiq's out there running around, and that guy looks like a freak.
He is an Adonis. Yeah. I need him on my team." Like, if you don't have a coach willing to do that, I just find it very hard. You can win with transfers. We just watched Indiana do it. But I think there's a difference between what Cignetti's bringing and what Deion is bringing.
Because he coached all those guys, and not all of them, but a large majority of them, he brought them with him, and they had been in the system for 4 years.
I think
you're doing a new team every year.
Yeah, and I think Deion understands a lot, but I think Cignetti has shown there is a different football brain.
Yeah, there's a big brain.
That guy, he's a computer.
Look at the big brain on Chad over there.
Big
you know?
Brain on Doug. Yeah. But I think Deion, like, just not caring about the recruiting, paired with what the record has been, paired with your quarterback saying this out loud. He has done a lot of good things for the university. There is no doubt. I think even if he is fired, this is a success because it's elevated their program and profile, and I think you can still go get a great coach after him.
Yeah, I've seen that theory floated out. Like, if he leaves, what are you going to do? And it's like, what do you mean, not recruit high school kids and bring in 40 new transfers every year and win four games? There's a lot of coaches who could do that at Colorado. That's a lot of them.
I think that's a good job.
That's a good job.
The conference is winnable.
Yes, it's open.
It's a beautiful campus.
Right, right.
You know you're getting backing. Dion got backing. Why would the next guy not be supported? Yeah. It's a good job. So it's a big season for him, man, but it's definitely fizzled. I don't even know how many primetime games are they featured in.
Not very. I mean, to my knowledge, even from last year, it wasn't that often. A couple early in the year, and then it's like, oh, look at that. Colorado lost again.
Those pregame shows were shoved down our throats
big
at Colorado. They had back-to-back weeks they hung out in Colorado.
Yeah, I just imagine somebody on Oregon's team saying, you know, we didn't really watch any film last year. This year, we're actually going to do that. I would lose my mind as a fan, and thank God we don't have a coach who does that. Let's get back into the NBA. What's going on with the Blazers and their five guards? Are they done? How do we feel about their offseason? And everything else going around the NBA, including all the talk about contracts and luxury taxes and all that. Keith Smith, our good friend, is going to join us to talk some NBA hoops next.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm 105.1 The Fam. All right, welcome back in. It is 8:27 on the dot. Look at us. Are we pitching a no-no today? Did I just jinx it because I said no-no?
We were pitching one, but then certain somebody had a longer update, so we came back at an 0-1 date.
Bastard over there.
Had to give me all the Wimbledon scores.
Don't worry. He's getting ready to go to Palm Springs in October. You know, the jet lag swag. He's just jumping back on a bird, going to play some golf in sunny weather.
I mean, that more of an off-air conversation. Very odd to tell me how jet-lagged you still are and then go, I'm going to be gone in October. Like, what?
Get your ass in here and get to work, huh? Let's do something. We do want to talk some NBA with our good buddy Keith Smith as we wait and see if we can get him on the horn. I'm not sure if you're aware of this break. We still don't have...
We got shooters!
Not yet.
Let's go!
Not yet. Key answer. Not yet.
Trey Murphy, in a video with Chet Holmgren working out, goes to the rack, shoots a layup, and the coach he works with goes, "What do you get paid for, Trey?"
Shooting.
They just want him to shoot.
Just shoot
the ball.
We can't afford him, though, because we can't move Tamani Kamara to the bench.
It would be Shaden. We don't want to lose Shaden Sharp.
We can't lose Shaden Sharp. Let's talk about all this now with our good buddy, Keith Smith. Spot tracking front office show, at Keith Smith NBA on Twitter, one of the best out there covering the league. He's been a good friend of the program for many years. Mm. Keith, good morning to you. Does the Blazers having five guards on their lineup right now make any sense to you?
Not really, no. especially considering another one of their wings is a high usage ball handler in Denny Avdia. So, yeah, it doesn't right now. Let's say that entire perimeter group doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Okay, Jaylen Brown's traded. I know it's a big thing in your orbit. You do a good job covering the league, but also giving commentary on the Celtics. He may not have gone for what people thought he would if you told him he was going to be traded a year ago. Can you help us make sense from a Portland angle of why not going in on a Jaylen Brown makes sense for a team that is desperate for wing play?
Yeah, I think there's a couple components. My guess is it just simply got a little too rich for their blood as far as the draft capital it would have taken. And yes, they do have some extra picks, but you're still talking about let's give up those picks to go. They just added a max player earlier this summer in John Morant for the next couple of seasons. And then to get to the matching salary, you're talking you're going to dip into some of your depth. Now, I just said it doesn't make a lot of sense to have all those guards on the roster, but I don't know how much they want to really get too deep into moving guys out. I'll say there's another component to this, too, that's something to keep an eye on with Portland. Really, from now all the way through the trade deadline is – Denny Avdia is going to be due for a contract extension next year. He only makes just under $12 million. So even with the improved extension rules, you can only bump him to roughly in the range of $25, $22 million in first-year salary. That's not going to be enough for Denny Avdia. So what I think Portland would like to do if they can get there is get off some of this extra money, create cap space next summer – then what they can do is renegotiate and extend Denny Avdia. And if you had $60 million for Jaylen Brown on the books, you're not going to be able to do that. So I think that might have also factored in to some extent with Portland when you look at the overall, what it cost us a lot in terms of draft picks, depth, and we would have lost that flexibility to maybe retain Denny Avdia going forward.
Yeah, I certainly understand all those points. We're talking about Keith Smith, our good buddy covering the NBA, at Keith Smith NBA on Twitter. The tough part I have with it is just the Ja Morant $42 million. Like, they're clearly willing to go at a big salary, and I get that 60 for Brown is more expensive than Morant at 42, and there's also an additional third year on the deal, and Morant was only two. On that, though, like, we talked about it when it happened, like, in a vacuum, I can understand it. It's a buying stock low. He's only 26 years old. Like, let's roll the dice. Jeremy Grant wasn't doing a lot to help you win, and Chris Murray couldn't make a shot in an NBA game. So I no issue there with the package. It's more about the idea of fit, and all of a sudden, when you do it, let's wait and see what the rest of the roster looks like. Now that nothing else has really happened outside of re-signing Robert Williams, I'm curious your thoughts on the Morant trade when it went down, and has it changed at all now, seeing that maybe there is a chance that all these guards actually do stick around?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a little weird, right? Because you have now, you're adding Ja Morant, which in a lot of cases, teams would be adding a guy like that to be, here's the new face of the franchise. We're going to get this guy's value built back up and go. And I think for Portland, it really becomes a, all right, we're going we bought him for nothing in effect, and we're going to try to rehab him. But now you've got Damian Lillard coming back, and we don't know what it'll look like, but presumably from what we've seen, it sounds like he's probably going to look a lot like the Damian Lillard we last saw. And now you have Drew Holiday as well, who's a veteran guy. He wants to win. Lillard wants to reestablish. Morant's trying to reestablish. Then you have Scoot Henderson and Shaedon Sharpe, who are in a lot of ways, they're trying to establish their careers and get them going and get things moving in the right direction. Sharpe is, at least he's signed, so he has that part handled. But Scoot Henderson's playing for his next contract, and that's very weird because one of those guys is probably not going to play very much unless their idea is, well, we're going to spot Lillard and Henderson quite a bit. Morant has injuries, but planning on that to be your plan to get all these guys enough time is a little weird. And like I said, that's before you even mention Avdia, who's essentially a playmaking wing who's going to have the ball a lot. It's a lot for Mike Inouye as a first-time head coach to have to sort through and figure out for sure in his early stages of being on the job.
I feel like we've heard it before, but I'd love to like write it down and never forget it. Like, what are we looking at? Because you talk about Denny Avdia being extended. Now, Dirt, correct me if I'm wrong. You said, was it yesterday, you'd pointed out that he might actually wait two more seasons?
Some people think that he might wait till the, if he's not an All-NBA guy, maybe wait till the full deal is up, but I don't know enough.
So, like, what are we looking at with a Denny extension? Because I think the organization, one, might be afraid of the extension with Jaylen, even though that's 3 years down the road, and I don't think you should operate that way as a team. But two, they don't want that amount because if you're going to extend Denny Avdia, that's not going to be a $100 million extension. What is Denny Avdia looking at? Let's assume, Keith, for argument's sake, let's say he makes third-team All-NBA next year. He was damn close to doing it this year. Let's just, for argument's sake, say he makes third-team All-NBA, has a very similar season. What are we looking at financially here in Portland with the Denny Avdia extension?
Yeah, it's – but I'm checking. Give me 1 second because I need to check a date on when he actually got traded to the Blazers. So he is no longer eligible to get that bump. In contract, like you see a lot of these guys, they talk about getting that bump to the 35% supermax when they make All-NBA because he was not traded to Portland until after his rookie skill deal had ended, as far as what I'm seeing on here. So in order for that to be a thing for Portland, you're going to be in a position where what you need to be able to do is you need to be able to create cap space to renegotiate and extend him next summer. Otherwise, what you're doing is you're walking into him being an unrestricted free agent because he's not – otherwise, you're getting 140% of his final year salary, which is just under $12 million. I'm doing some math on the fly here for you. So you're talking a first-year salary of, barely $17 million. And, and then you can go up a little because they'll be under the average salary. So let's call it 20 to 21 million bucks is where they could probably get him at. That's not enough for Denny Avdia, not with what other guys at his level are making. So what you want to do if you're Portland is you want to create cap space for next summer. Then what you can do is you can take that cap space. Let's just say they can create $20 million in cap space. You can give it all to him. You bump next year's salary up to about $32 million. Then you extend him off that number, and that's going to get you up around $40 million or so. And that's more in the range of where we would think a player like him would start on an extension. So that's got to be one of the plans that they're thinking about. So if there's a trade that happens, I don't think it's going to happen now, but by the trade deadline where it's like, whoa, Portland got off a whole lot of money. They traded Drew Holiday and took almost nothing back for long-term salary. Well, that's probably why, because they're in a position now to maybe have cap space to renegotiate and extend Avdija, because otherwise an extension for him just simply isn't realistic.
What is a number for Keith Smith? Like, what's a hardline number, X amount per year for a Denny Avdija in your mind? If it's past, let's say it's a little past 40, like what would the number be for you where you're like, this much per year is just a little too rich for my blood?
Yeah, somewhere in the range of 40 to 45 average annual value feels about right to me. That's, you know, just below what a max extension would be for a guy with his years of service. It projects to start somewhere around $54 million or so. And then the nice thing is, if you give him all that extra cap space this year and you bump, or going into next year rather, if that's the path they go, what a lot of times what they'll do is say, hey, we were going to do a 4-year $160 million deal, which was going to pay you out at $40 million a year. But instead of that, we gave you $20 million now. So now that extension is going to become 4 years, $140 million, and that lowers the average annual value. We've seen that in these renegotiation and extensions happen before, where the guy's not like a clear max player. That's what happened with Miles Turner with the Pacers on his last deal with them. So that's kind of the range where you're looking at.
Interesting. Keith Smith, our guest. Last one I got for you, Keith. I'm just curious your thoughts on a lot of debate about the overall health of the NBA, and you've had 8 straight different champions in this historic NBA Finals, and then going into the offseason, you have one of the, you know, most prestigious organizations in the league have to break up their core who won a championship because they're taking up 70% of the salary cap. People complaining about second aprons, and these teams that are being built are kind of getting torn down. And just the idea of, like, it's leading to parity, but are fans upset? I understand both sides of it. I'm curious where you fall on this debate, especially after the Brown trade and the numbers that came from it in terms of how much of the salary cap they were taking up.
Sure. Yeah, I think the owners are getting what they want here. One, the owners wanted to put some handcuffs on themselves for spending, because owners, unless there is a reason they can point to, like James Dolan did, which is, ooh, second apron scary, I can't spend into that, even though he has more money than he knows what to do with, he absolutely could have. But then they cite all these, you know, basketball restrictions, which are real. But if you're the Knicks, I don't know how much they're going to hurt you. So I think for him it is, you know, all right, I don't want to spend, you know, that money. And part of it also was, you have a guy like Steve Ballmer who, you know, all right, I'll, you know, pay $500 million for my team, $500 million. Because what is the difference does it make to me? I just want to win and have a good team. So they put those on. But the parity part of it, what I always say was, parity is great if you're a team that doesn't have those guys and you want to win and you want to be better. Parity stinks if you're a team that has those players and you don't want to lose them. So, like, right now, Celtics fans are like, man, we lost Jaylen Brown. We lost Drew Holiday. We lost Al Horford. We lost Kristaps Porzingis all in the last span of the last 2 off seasons. Well, but Portland's happy to have Holiday. The Warriors are happy to have Horford and Porzingis. Right. Sixers are happy to have Jaylen Brown. So as much as Celtics fans are fuming today, you know, a bunch of other teams that are happy. So I think the league is getting what they want. I think the league loves the fact that you can't sit here today. Remember, it was like 10 years ago. We could have been talking right now and said, hey, Cavs, Warriors, June, all right, we'll see you then. Yeah. Like, who cares what the rest of happens the rest of the year, because that's what we know we're going to be facing. Now we can't say that anymore. We have no confidence. I mean, the Thunder or Tyrese Haliburton straight away from being this all-time unstoppable dynasty to not even having a title at all. So it is, you know, this is just a different world scoring than any I can remember in my time covering the league.
Yeah, and kids are crying now because their all-time favorite player has to be traded because of percentages of cap don't make sense to ownership.
You got a lot of championships, Boston sports fans. Get out of here.
I think there's a give and take in the middle between all of these worlds that I totally would be open-minded to. Last one for you, and then we'll let you go because we appreciate the time.
Well, let me say one quick thing.
Yeah.
While those kids in Boston are crying, the kids in Philly are in line to get their Jalen Brown.
That's exactly right. Thank you.
You know, it all balances off.
Was he drafted in Philly, Keith? Come on. What are we doing? Boston fans grew up with this guy.
You got Podcast P. Embrace him, all right?
Hey, it's someone who grew up in the Boston area and loved most of the Boston area sports scene. No one wants to hear Boston sports fans tears and crying at all. I get it.
See, that's the Florida in you coming out now, Keith. I appreciate where you're coming from. Let me ask you this final one. I have a take, and I don't know if I'll end up being right. Because of the non-movement outside of re-signing Rob Will and getting Ja in a five-guard situation, I don't believe they're going to get a Trey Murphy. I would be very surprised if they did, but in a good way. I also think it'd be very blazer for them to sign a two-way guy at the wing and say, there's our offseason, here we go, we're going to do it. Is the league kind of telling us we're not as rich as you think we are, and would you lean on the Blazers more likely to use these buck picks that they traded for with the Dame trade than actually trade them? Because we all thought going into the summer, this is it. This is when you use and you strike, you're a seven seed, let's get better. Players presented themselves, they've done nothing. I'm starting to think they're just likely to use the picks because they're contractually valuable. They make sense for markets like Portland. And to use a term from Brad Steven, optionality. Where would you be on banking on Portland with the Bucks picks that don't hit for a couple more years? Use them or trade them?
Certainly a lot more likely now to use them because they don't have Giannis anymore in Portland, or excuse me, in Milwaukee. So they're in a place where for Portland, those picks have, you know, more value. I will say, though, I'm not going to be surprised if just because they have kind of all this movable salary on their roster, if Portland does look at it and say, hey, you know what, the best thing to do is not get overloaded in picks where we become the Thunder. You know, God forbid that happens. You know, they're only one of the best teams in the league. But you don't want to be in a position where it's like, man, every couple of years we're having a wave or just give away these former draft picks because we just can't roster everybody under the sun. But, I mean, you look at it, Holiday and Lillard, those guys are still good players right now, but what are they going to be by the time those Bucks pick deliver? Are they even going to be there? What if John Morant doesn't get back to what he was? Now all of a sudden it's like, all right, well, now we have those picks, we have all this great cap flexibility, and we just kind of keep things moving. I think there's you know, as you said it, that's the term, optionality. I do think Portland has really good optionality with the way they've structured things here over the last couple of transaction cycles.
So what Blazer fans love to hear, just wait four more years, all right? Four more years, and then we'll start hitting on some of these picks. Because the last time we had top 10 picks with Landon Scoot and Shaden, it turned out so well. Keith Smith, our great friend, SpotTrack, front office show, at Keith Smith NBA on Twitter. Thanks for making sense of all this and hopping on Portland, man. We appreciate it. Let's do it again soon.
I appreciate it. Thanks so much for having me.
There you go. Keith Smith. Lots to digest there. More likely than not to use the picks, the Denny Avdia extension conversation, which will kick up some dust here in the not-too-distant future. Back after this, 105.1 FM, The Fan.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. Digging the vibes today. Not gonna lie, it's not that bad. I wasn't sure what to expect. Not that bad.
Ooh.
RIP, though, to 15 years of hard work.
Turn this up a little bit. Oh, this is late night office sex vibes.
So I was playing this on the ship.
You and the lady, you've been dancing around it.
All you want to think of, what was his name, Silviano?
Silviano.
You want to pull his hair?
I'm Silviano.
Ooh, call me Silviano tonight,
Silvano.
Babe.
Silvano.
Silvano. Call me Silvano.
Your woman looks like she needs Silvano.
No, we had Maria and Keener on the boat.
Keener's
doing
sex.
Yeah. Keener? They were from the Philippines.
Ah.
Husband and wife.
They were musicians?
They were the entertainment.
Okay. How was the entertainment?
It was interesting.
Dude, this is definitely the offense romance that shouldn't exist.
Was it like a concert? Or did they do spandex?
No, they would sing, and he was kind of a DJ, had a little keyboard, and it was at the Tropical Bar for happy hour.
Okay.
It was interesting.
Interesting, yeah.
There's a coworker on a printer. Photocopying her butt accidentally with the button as this music plays in some office in America.
Those are my cheeks. You know who they needed on the boat was DJ Gregarious, who was an absolute hit at the Fangolf Classic.
Oh. Yes, he was.
Dude, that guy.
DJ at the Fangolf Classic?
Elizabeth's husband.
Star of the show.
Who's?
Elizabeth's husband from our sales party. Dude, star of the show.
Are you not remembering the client party?
Yeah, I don't.
You don't remember the DJ?
I don't remember.
I wasn't even there, and I heard stories about the DJ.
Remember.
He had a whole outfit on.
He was the star of the client party.
Dude, you and I got back to the Red Shed at the Fangolf Classic early.
I honestly don't remember.
That's because you had 19 wines.
He was on a booze cruise for 18 days, all right? Give him a break here.
He was in his sex shoes, standing next to coworkers, making them feel very uncomfortable.
Hello! We walked back into the Red Shed at the Fangolf Classic, and this is before anybody else got into the Red Shed.
Oh, okay.
And he was like full mid-set. And I'm not kidding you. There's nobody in there. He's just doing a DJ set for him. Now, you can hear it if you're driving your cart by.
Gotcha.
And he's just, he's in Saturday Night Fever, man. He is just living it up in there with his hair and his pants. This guy's throwing a party just for himself. This is great. Should have been there if he weren't there. Fangolf Classic, great time. Denny Avdia is about to get paid. Now, it will take 1 year or 2 years.
He is right, though. I don't think you want to get to free agency.
So here, again, is the point. You need Denny Avdia to agree on that. And this is the problem. And this is, I'm trying to remember exactly what the verbiage was that Bobby Marks gave us. And Keith kind of hinted at it there. There is only a certain percentage that you can go up in your offer based on what your current salary is.
Right.
Denny Avdia is on a what contract?
Very team friendly
contract. He's making $12 million.
Yeah.
Now, there's a limit on how much you can go up above $12 million.
I thought Keith referenced 140% there at the end.
Which is not going to get him to where he wants to go financially.
Where does he
want to go? Into the $45 million range. Yeah.
Does he want to, or does he want to be in the $50 million?
Maybe that's the case. So, either way, you can't get there off of 12, and this is the point. So maybe he's right that you give you would have to rewrite the contract for the last year of the deal. So not this year, but next year. And then you give him the extension based off of that. It also behooves Denny Avdia to become an unrestricted free agent, does it not? If he plays well this year and plays well the year after that, there's a massive benefit for him waiting to sign.
If the number is going to be a $10 million gap between now and that,
$37 million or $51 million, you're taking the $51 million, and we wouldn't, unless we again rewrite the last year of his deal, we can't offer him that. And so it's just a lot of this conversation about Jaylen Brown and where's the money going to go, and you got it's just something that's noodling in the back of my mind of there's no guarantee that this is long term.
I think I find the Jaylen Brown tying to Denny future contract stuff odd. We don't want that deal because of the percentage of the cap it's going to take up is what you hear, right? And then it's 3 years later, you're going to have to extend Jaylen Brown. And I live in a vacuum in the NBA where 3 years is a new window.
Yeah, who cares about 3 years from now?
I don't. I really don't. I want this team to be good now. I want them to be as good as they can be. No. I want them to be in a position where if San Antonio suffers a catastrophic injury and Oklahoma City gets banged up and you have this rare one-off opportunity to strike, be in a position to strike. Don't be, let's play the slow card and be good in 6 years.
I'm so glad we still have all those picks for 5 years from now.
But I find it odd, be damned what the analytics say, of a guy that's won a championship, been the finals MVP, helped carry them to the 2 seed, and we got to argue if he's better value than Derek White.
He's too expensive.
I'm because his analytics are worse than Derek White? What are we doing there?
His 29 points per game is 6th in MVP voting.
It's been funny to follow all this because nobody has had a better win than the eyeball test guy.
Yeah.
Because I do think some of this is just, it's falling on deaf ears, your analytics. Sometimes the analytics don't tell the story. I watch a guy play, it does. And I don't know where we're at with Denny Avdia. If he goes to the, open free agency period, certainly. If he's going to command 50 to 53...
That's another debate we need to have.
We're just cool paying that?
That's another... If you're going to tell me you're skittish of paying
Jaylen
Brown
60... being 60, you're cool with Denny Avdia at 50? Because if he makes All-NBA next year, if I'm him, I'm hitting free agency.
Yes, you're waiting until free agency and you're getting paid.
And because he's going to be what? A year from now, he'll be how old? He'll be 27?
I believe so.
What's the prime of almost every player in NBA history?
Exactly.
28, 29, right. 27.
He's 25 years old. He'll turn 26 in January. So he will be 27 when he's an unrestricted free agent.
Going into his final season of unrestricted free agency.
27 going on 28.
And whether it's us or like five other teams, I find it hard that he's not going to command a $50 million a year salary. And I'm just asking people, what is your hard line on it?
There should be a number. If there's a number for Jaylen Brown, there needs to be a number for Denny.
I think legitimately people, and maybe they'll end up being right on this because he is still at a certain age. I think there's a decent amount of people more than you would be willing to accept that think he's as good as Jaylen Brown right now.
Oh, I certainly know those people exist. I disagree with them. You can argue maybe in 3 years, 2 years from now, maybe even this year.
Maybe.
I also just have eyes and I watched him play this year. And I know he got in a car accident, and I saw one guy carry his team with bits and pieces to the 2 seed in the East and average 30 a game.
I know, but people point to the West being harder and Denny carrying the Blazers. And
we were the 9 seed in the
Western
Conference.
He also missed a decent little chunk of the season.
I get it. This is not a criticism of Denny Avdija. He's a very good player.
It's going to become quite the conversation, though, if they can't extend him next year.
Yeah, or one guy regresses a little bit because now all of a sudden there's other ball handlers and scorers around him.
Yeah,
and the numbers
dip
down to 21 points per game, and your 3-point shooting percentage comes down. Like, there's stuff we got to keep an eye on here to see where they go. It's just I'm mentally ready. As you said yesterday, they're going to use the picks. They're totally using the picks.
Did you hear Keith?
2030!
How did he phrase it?
2030!
More likely than not?
Yeah, hold on.
Is that how he said it?
4 more years, baby. That's all we need to wait. 4 more years. Not the deadline, not the offseason. 4 years from now, we'll start having some fun. Loaded final hour. We got lots to get to, including Statter Story coming up at 9:27. Final hour next, 105.1 FM The Fam.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.